Around the festive period, we often hear more about loneliness and isolation than any other time of year. For many people, though, throughout history, loneliness can be a challenge all year round, pandemic or no pandemic. I'm Lewis Foster, and for the next 20 minutes or so, I'm going to be taking a look at some of the charities tackling these issues and speaking with some of the people they support right here on the Isle of Man. Well, here we are. If you find yourself walking up to Douglas Head, past Manx Radio, past the great Camera Obscura, you'll find this bench right here. Right below me right now is Douglas Lighthouse. To my left, Douglas Bay and Onchan Head. And out to my right, just now, there's a vague outline of the wind farm out there in the distance. And on that horizon, on a clear day, you can't see it quite just now. It's a bit wintry at the moment. But out there on a clear day, you'll see the hills of what some people would call England, Cumbria, the lakes, whatever you like. But my partner and I would come out here on occasion during the height of this pandemic we're currently all facing right now, and we'd look out on that view right there in front of me. At the worst of times for us, for those months when the borders were shut, we wouldn't see England, the lakes, whatever you like out there. We'd look out there and we'd describe that view as home. We moved over to the Isle of Man in 2019, several months, in fact, before that day in March 2020. And whilst we quickly fell in love with the island, as many do, as the shutters came down, we suddenly found ourselves a bit cut off from family, friends, and everyone we loved, really, over there in them hills. It was quite a strange feeling, I suppose, one that many people will have felt, to have your feet planted on solid ground, but your head, heart, everything else seemingly elsewhere. And I think it's true, to be honest, that the two of us felt cut off, isolated, and a wee bit lonely. My feelings aside, those times served as a stark reminder to me of how quickly you can find yourself all of a sudden without a support network, a safety net, and if not for the wonders of technology, somebody to talk to. For those going through times like that, the Isle of Man is well served of charities readily available to somehow fill those vital gaps. One of those is Live at Home, which supports around 500 people with one-to-one befriending and puts on various activities and events. It also hosts Northern Men in Sheds. I wanted to find out from Live at Home's chief executive what sort of impact the COVID-19 pandemic had had on the charity and if there'd been a marked effect on the extent of loneliness and isolation in the Isle of Man.
Jackie Bridson, I'm chief executive of Isle of Man Live at Home Schemes.
Why is it that it's always brought up around this time of year, do you think? And is it just Christmas that loneliness becomes an issue?
I think it comes up this time of year because it's a time of year where normally everybody, families, friends, get together and spend time together. And I think people are aware that there are people in this world that don't have a large family support network or they don't have a large group of friends, and they are aware that there will be people spending Christmas time on their own. And I think because everybody else is out there having a really nice time, that it becomes really focused in people's memories or minds. Unfortunately, because, you know, as a charity on the Isle of Man that's operated for 23 years dealing with loneliness and isolation, we do realise and we know that loneliness isn't just for Christmas.
And when we say loneliness, it's something that perhaps everybody in their lives has experienced at some point. But what exactly is loneliness in your terms, in the way you see it? Because I imagine it's quite a broad term.
Very much so. I mean, there are a lot of different types of loneliness. There's emotional loneliness, social loneliness, transient loneliness, chronic loneliness. And, you know, I think there are probably definitions out there that you could look at as to what each of those are. But loneliness, from my perspective, is people that have identified that there is a period of time in their lives, could be on a daily basis, could be, you know, once a week or something like that, that they actually feel that they are completely and utterly on their own and are missing that social interaction or are missing the ability to even have a discussion or a chat with somebody. You know, there are people that don't actually speak to people more than maybe once a week. You might talk to somebody like the postman or on the telephone, somebody might have called in, but they might not have that group of support that a lot of other of us have to make them feel that they're part of a group or a social interactive place to have a chat and link with their own communities.
And on the Isle of Man, how many people do you imagine are currently experiencing some form of loneliness? And obviously yourself and other groups around the island are working to sort of combat that. So what's a picture of how it is on the island?
If I was completely honest with you, I wouldn't have a particular picture, because I think there's a lot of people out there that are probably feeling lonely or isolated, that don't interact with groups and or say the words "I'm lonely" to somebody out loud. It's actually quite a stigma for people to say that those sort of words, because first of all, you have to admit it to yourself, and secondly, to be able to get out there and say it to somebody else is quite a big thing to do. And a lot of people just get on with life, don't they? They just get on with things. So I couldn't say to you how many numbers, but if I gave you a snapshot of what we do as a charity, I mean, we're currently supporting over 500 people. We realise that there's a number of people out there that we probably don't touch, because, you know, as an island, we are a growing older population, and loneliness will increase as you get older, because your normal support group or your community links will reduce as you get older, because you will lose mobility, you will lose the ability to go out and mix, you might not drive anymore, you might become less confident, or your physical and your mental capabilities will diminish as well, because ageing is a process that hopefully all of us will go through. So I'm sure there's proportions out there that we just have no idea about.
For many of us, we use social media as our main form of interacting. It's there right in the name, social media. It's not always the case, but if we wanted to message somebody, we would just pop a message across. But for those that aren't on any of those, or perhaps a little bit fearful of the internet and things like that, are they quite easily cut off, do you think, these days?
I think more so. I think particularly with the stuff that's gone on in the last 18 months to 2 years with the COVID pandemic, and it's ongoing. What we did recognise, and we did do some research on the island, was to see what access to the internet and data and social media our members have. Now, typically our members are over the age of 50, and it was quite clear within lockdown one that nearly three quarters of those people don't even have access to data. So, like we all presume, everybody has a smartphone even. A lot of our members will maybe have a mobile phone, but it'll be an old style one that maybe they'll still switch off when they're not using it anymore. And this capability that we all had to do virtual meetings or to chat to people online just wasn't an option for quite a proportion of people. So that's something we as a charity are looking to address in the next year or so.
And you've mentioned COVID, obviously, over the last almost 2 years now we've been facing this pandemic. How much are we seeing loneliness on the increase right now?
Again, it's an anecdotal, because I haven't done any proper number crunching for it for the Isle of Man. Certainly I, as a chief executive of a charity that deals with loneliness, have recognised that our referrals are up after the lockdowns happened. I think people have realised that they need to be doing something for themselves to go back out into the communities and try and link with people. I am actually now, and I've worked in the organisation for over 6 years, I'm now having phone calls I've never had with people before, where people will ring me and say, "I am absolutely dreadfully lonely." And they're words I've never heard people say. So I think it's massively going to increase. I think, you know, it's good that people are reaching out, and I think it's really positive that people are taking the actions themselves, or even families and friends have recognised that some of them, the people they support, are feeling lonely and are making the referrals for them as well. But I think there's a whole scutch of people out there that need support.
What would be your message, perhaps, to somebody who hasn't yet reached out to anybody but is feeling like they haven't spoke to somebody in quite a long time? What would you say to them?
well, my main message is that there are people out there that can support you. And, you know, it doesn't cost you anything. It just means that you've got to be a little bit brave and pick the phone up and call. Now, if you're not feeling confident in doing that and you do have a family member, then you could ask them to ring on your behalf. All it takes is a quick call to our offices, and we would arrange for somebody to pop out and talk to you about the services and the support that we can provide. And you can become as involved or not as involved as you'd like to. And what I say to a lot of people is, we will ring you and ask you and tell you what things we've got going on. And you can say no to us as many times as you would like. We don't get upset about that. You know, we would rather you say no. But it just gives an opportunity for you to have a regular phone call from somebody that checks in on you as well. And, you know, over COVID, that's what we were doing with people. We were ringing out to people and saying, are you okay? And through the three lockdowns, we did over 8,000 calls, which is quite a large amount of calls out, just to call in and check people are okay. We can flag up then if things are going down or if people are missing things, like they didn't know where to get deliveries of the medications, or we can find that information out and give them to people. So please do not sit there and feel that you've got nothing or nobody to talk to or turn to, because there is people like ourselves out there.
It was great to talk to Jackie, and it was clear just how knowledgeable she was and how much effort and time the Live at Home team puts in. After we spoke, Jackie put me in touch with two people who now take part in the event Live at Home puts on. First was Stephen Buttery. Born and raised in the Isle of Man, he's lived on the same road in Douglas for all his life, a stone's throw from where I'm sitting right now in a studio at Manx Radio.
I'm a bit wet, I'm afraid.
You've walked out?
I have, yeah, just from the top of the hill. How are you doing?
I popped down to Stephen's, let me say, immaculate home, and sat down for a chat whilst looking over Douglas Bay, a vantage point from which he's watched 88 years of change and growth.
Since the visitors stopped coming here, it's changed tremendously. You know, all this offshore banking and all the redevelopment. I never thought the houses on the promenade would come down, but, you know, they have. It's looking out of the window here now, it's a different scenario. All the freight is lining up. That used to be open water at one time. They just filled it in and made a freight yard out of it.
Now, Stephen will tell you himself, he has a great circle of friends and he's never struggled getting out and about socialising. But isolation can take many forms, and for Stephen, it was a case of reaching out for support when his wife sadly became ill.
My wife started suffering from dementia, I'm going about perhaps 6 or 8 years now. And you are looking out for help, because they do what they can at the mental health department, but you definitely need your help, you know, especially a man who's never been used to nursing or that sort of thing. And Live at Home were very good. I think in those early days, they used to send a lady up to sit with my wife, well, to give me half an hour to get the shopping in or something like that. There were a couple of organisations, Decaf and Crossroads. If anybody was looking for help, there is help out there.
So Live at Home helped you back when you were living here with your wife as well?
Yes, they did. And the other thing about it is we could, the main thing was going out for a lunch about once a month. They cover the island extensively, but the Douglas group used to go out once a month. So like the likes of the Craig Navarre or over to Peel to the creek. And you get to know the people there, because you've all been through the same sort of thing. You've got a common interest.
How did Live at Home's support change for you when it was just you on your own?
Well, the main thing was getting out. I was driving it. Sometimes I would drive, sometimes I'd go on the minibus. But just getting out with the same people once a month, it gives you a bit of a break. You know?
And we're talking about as well how it comes to be that people end up on their own sometimes. Obviously, it can be through bereavement. Sometimes just support mechanisms just seem to be to just vanish, and you find yourself just almost suddenly on your own without any warning, I suppose, can be the case sometimes. How easy do you think it is to slip into isolation?
Well, I suppose it's very easy indeed. If you don't look for help, it's not going to come to you. You really have to make a little effort to find what is out there. The mental health nurses were good to point you in the right direction when you've got that sort of problem.
And how did it feel for you personally when you were on your own and you had to call out for help?
Well, you just take what's available. You make the most of it. It's I had a good circle of friends anyway, having grown up here. But they're not tuned into the problems of looking after somebody with dementia. And that is the big difference.
How was it you first heard of decaf?
It was something that was on Manx Radio, funnily enough. It mentioned that there was this group who met people with relatives suffering from dementia. And I went along, and it was when my wife was not too bad, it was great. You get out, you go out and have a pub lunch and a drink, and it worked very well because you're all in the same boat. You know what the problems are. I would recommend it to anybody.
And what are those kind of conversations? I imagine you can have certain conversations with that group that you can't really have with other people.
Well, yes, because you've got people who understand. I mean, you don't talk about that sort of thing all the time. It'd be pretty boring. But you're all in the same boat, and you're sharing problems. It just helps to share your problems like that.
It was great to see Stephen happy and comfortable in his home and hear about the multiple organisations, Live at Home and DCAF, and how they've helped him in recent years. Having an active social life such as Stephen can sometimes only be the product, though, of a lifetime spent in one place within one community. For others, like myself, a move to the Isle of Man can mean starting that process all over again, and sometimes painfully leaving the life you once knew behind. Bevin Onken went through a similar thing 5 years ago when her and her husband came across from England to be with their daughter.
I didn't get in touch with Live at Home. My daughter did. She said, look, the only way you're going to get involved with anything is to move into an organisation sort of that, you know, helps people. She said, shall I arrange for somebody to come and see you? And I said, well, yes, if you think that's the best way forward. So she said, well, Mum, you're not going to do anything unless you do, are you? And I said, well, I suppose not. So anyway, Annie came to visit us. And she was lovely, absolutely lovely. She told us what Live at Home did for people, how each month we had a meal at the Methodist Church in Onken. And it was really nice. She introduced us to the people that used to go. Unfortunately, a lot of those people have either passed on or gone into nursing homes since we started. But there's always a new group of people coming, and we always welcome.
You say you left the West Country. What was your social life like back in England, and how difficult was that to leave?
Well, I was into drama most of my life. Groups, clubs, acting, costume making. And I belonged to a drama group, say, 20 minutes away from my home in another village in South Gloucestershire. And I was a wardrobe mistress. I was also chairman for a few years, very involved with this drama group. And because I'm the older generation, I don't feel I can join all the groups that do these wonderful shows because they're so professional, and they are brilliant. And although I made all these costumes and things before, I just don't feel I can do things like that anymore. I know it sounds rather strange, but I just feel that I can't go into a group and say, look, I sew, is there anything I can do? Because I don't know anybody that does that sort of thing.
That doesn't sound strange to me at all, but do you think that's a particularly strong mindset perhaps to the older generation? Do you think they are they are too old for something, and then they discount themselves from joining and taking part in those social activities.
I think that's absolutely right. I think they think, no, can't do that. I can't possibly join that.
Bev, I wonder, when you think back now to 5 years ago, to when you first moved over to the island, perhaps that first year, to where you are now with the help of Live at Home, how different is that, and how much better do you feel in yourself now?
Oh, tons better. We couldn't have stayed where we were. I don't know how we would have managed. We wouldn't have done anything. And because we still have Live at Home and we went to the things, even though it was, are you happy to come? Yes, we're happy to come. And we'd go, and we've been fine, absolutely fine. And I do feel grateful to them. And the people that run it are so, so lovely. And if you want any help, all you have to do is ring them up and ask them.
Loneliness and isolation are year-round issues, that's a matter of fact. But Christmas is often a time where we feel the need to get together and warm ourselves with company while the weather outside is less than great. Live at Home put on its annual Christmas party for the people it supports at the Palace Hotel in Douglas on the 15th of December. My colleague Amy Griffiths went along to speak to some of those in attendance.
Jackie Bridson, Chief Executive of Isle of Man Live at Home Schemes.
How much do events like this mean to the people that you support?
Well, I like to think that they're extremely important to people. I mean, I think the fact is today that we've got about 80-odd people coming to enjoy our Christmas lunch is a testament to the fact that people really do want to still get together, despite everything that's going on in the world at the moment with the pandemic ongoing. And obviously people are concerned about their safety and their health. But, you know, ultimately sometimes the decision's got to be made as to carrying on trying to live with this pandemic rather than still sitting at home feeling more alone than you would do normally. But we've put mitigations in place, so we've asked everybody that's coming today to do a lateral flow test. We've also asked them to wear masks on our transport. We've got sanitizer. We've got masks if people want to remain in them. You know, as much mitigations as we can put in place. But ultimately, people have got to make a choice about how they're going to do things. And as long as I feel that we've got as much in place as we can do, then, you know, we were happy to proceed.
Do you put so much time and effort into events like this, into the support that you give generally? Why is it that you do what you do?
I think you'll see as the day goes on that the smiles on the faces is everything worthwhile, and the fact that people get so much out of having an opportunity to be together. For some of the people that come today, this will be the only Christmas gathering that they'll be at, or the only chance to have sit and have a meal and chat to people.
Susan, tell me, why are you here today?
We're here for the Christmas lunch with the Live at Home scheme.
What does it mean to you being able to have somebody to help you go out and do things like that?
We get to know different people and have different people to talk to.
Why do you think that it's such a valuable scheme? Why do you think it's so important?
Well, I think it's important because of the elderly people around about get out of their houses if they can.
Oh, it's great for meeting people. If we were at home all the time, Maureen would get fed up with looking at me and I would get fed up with looking at Maureen. You know, so going out, it's important to see, meet people.
This is helping you get in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Well, if like Stephen, Bev and those down at the Palace Hotel, you'd like to get in touch with Live at Home at their base at the Mike Hailwood Centre, Glen Crutchery Road, Douglas, they're available on the phone between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday on 616 571 or 497 603. If you reach an answer phone, fear not, just leave a message and they'll get back to you. You can also leave an email at inquiries@liveathome.im. You can find those details and other organisations such as Southern Befriend, Men in Sheds and the Manx Retirement Association underneath this podcast on manxradio.com. I've been Lewis Foster. Thank you very much for listening and have a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year.